We'll see Joel in just a minute.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
My fly is open.
Well, you were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bath. For the show, then go direct to DLFGS.org. And ICChallengeAnalytics.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Yo, 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 welcome to episode 1052. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Hello.
And in the listening booth, more Dancy and Merv.
Oh, man, why are you guys in the listening booth? Aren't anybody here? Come talk.
They're afraid that Joel's going to come and chase him away.
No, that he's just going to keep on yapping. But the thing about Joel is you got to get him sidetracked, and it's not that hard to do. Once he gets going on a topic you don't care about, just start talking about something else. He'll jump in.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I'll tell you what. I don't know if I mentioned this last week. This is a real pain in the ass. One of the problems that we're having with when you start using other people's services, you always have that black box syndrome. And which gets really annoying. Like, case in point, we have a number of functions that run through Google Cloud, run services. Now the whole point of these is that you're supposed to just have like a simple code or application that does like one thing. And one of the guys that I work with is like, all Google Cloud functions, it just should be like a single script, not a full-fledged application that it processes. Well, we have kind of like smallish scripts, smallish applications that we run. Nothing that really requires containerization, as a full-fledged running application constantly, just like an on-demand thing. Which, when you get down to the brass tacks of it, the way that Google Cloud Functions works is it ultimately containerizes the code that you're using and executes it that way. But it's not a constantly running application unless you set it to be at least one minimum instance running all the time, which we don't do. But when it comes time to fire off that application, that function, it's usually really fast. Doesn't take a lot of time to kick it in to ready state. Anyway, we have a couple months ago, I talked about how we implemented Dependabot and that workflow process where automatically, you know, does a pull request. And it runs it through the tests, and if it passes, it merges it in. But one of the dependencies that has plagued almost all our applications is Got. Got is a library that is kind of replaces request, HTTP request. You know, think of it kind of like a little bit like curl. It does calls, network calls for you. And one of the requirements of the latest version of Got, which is like 14 something, is that your JavaScript application, your Node application, has to conform to ECMA standard and standard modules. So it required that our applications be rewritten. And so we did that on two of the applications, two of the functions. And by and large, it's not that you're really changing the functionality of the application, just kind of the structure of the code. And one of the things that we noticed after we deployed it is that the tracing was no longer in there. So tracing is kind of like open telemetry. I've talked about that in the past, which allows you to it's what a lot of companies use, not necessarily open telemetry, but that's the big industry standard, where it captures different metrics of the application while it's running and allows you to propagate those metrics not only within an application running, but across multiple applications. You could tie it together through like a trace ID, and then it goes to like a stack driver where you can look at the performance of the application at different points. What we primarily used it for with regards to the functions was we would pass that trace ID through the entire application. And whenever we would log something out in the application, that log payload would include the trace ID in it. And then Google's logger would easily tie all those log entries together. So when you're looking at it in the Explorer view, you can see how the application or where it was and what it was doing during the whole run for that specific trace. When we moved to ESM, one of our functions no longer had a trace ID in it. So what was happening was that it's a function that's triggered by a PubSub event, a PubSub topic. So what that is like a payload, a message payload comes off of a queue, and it gets pushed to the function. And when it hits our function application code, our entry point, it's a payload with the information that the application needs to process. In that payload was a trace, what's called the trace parent, which had the trace ID in it, which we were pulling out and then using that to propagate through the rest of the application. What ended up happening was moving to ESM, ECMAScore standards, it was gone. The trace ID was no longer in there. And it wasn't anything like we dug a lot of digging around and all sorts of stuff. The payload coming in to the entry point of the application no longer had that trace parent in there. And the odd thing was is I could go back and run the version of the application prior to converting to ECMAScore standards, and it was there. It was in there, right? The trace parent ID was in there, and then move it back over. And so we dug into as much as we could dig into, and it doesn't appear to have anything to do with our actual code. But something to do with whatever is going on between the payload and the function cloud run and the function framework. So it kind of goes from the PubSub topic, gets the message. The message is in a push subscription, which goes to cloud run, which passes it to the function framework into the entry point of our application. That is my understanding of it. So we can see when the payload from the subscription gets to cloud run, somewhere between cloud run and the function framework, and before it actually gets to our application, Cloud Run logs a HTTP post to our application or to Cloud Run. I'm not sure exactly where it is, to the function framework or to our application, what's going to be sent to our application. That post has the trace parent in it, the trace ID in it. In the past, that trace ID is what we get passed in the event payload to our entry point of our application, and we pull that out. Now, it still exists in that post. It's just no longer visible in the payload. And we can't figure out why, because the black box is in there. And it was really infuriating. So we opened a case with Google support, and we had a call with them this afternoon about this, because they couldn't see fully why this was a problem, like why it was happening. In the interim, when I reported this on Monday, and when we actually had our meeting today, a second application had also been updated to the ECMA 7 standards. And the weird thing about it was that application had same thing. In the post was the trace ID to the payload given to the entry point had a trace parent with a trace ID in it. The weird thing about it is it didn't match the post trace ID as it did in the past. So on one hand, we have a completely missing trace ID. On the other, the trace ID that we're getting, that comes in the event payload, doesn't match the trace ID that's in the post message, which is not a big deal, but it's kind of odd, you know, that it's like all over the place. Either it's not there or it's not the same like it used to be. Just really weird. And it's annoying. It's that little bit of mystery in how things operate that is challenging and annoying at the same time. Right, Dave?
Yep.
Hate the black box. Always run into problems with the black box. Somewhere along the line. Eventually it's gonna bite you in the ass. Do you have a lot of black box problems, Joe?
Can't say as I do.
You must run all your own stuff in-house, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you are fully on service now?
No, that's supposed to be towards the end of the year. And we're also going to be using Dynatrace. I was going to ask you to run me through the numbers on Dynatrace or tell me what you thought about it.
Dynatrace? I don't think I've ever used
about
Dynatrace.
Oh, I thought I heard one of you guys talking about it. Maybe it was Joel.
Maybe it is. You know what? I think it's Joel. Because okay. I remember hearing about it. What's it do?
I don't know. I was going to ask. Mortensen says he used it 10 years ago. Tell me about it 10 years ago.
It was the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was SAP 10 years ago.
We loved it. They gave us a lot of drugs, and that was the end of it.
Still, and then there was no more Dynatrace.
Although it's interesting because their web page is just based. Simplify cloud complexity and innovate faster and more securely with the only analytics and automation platform powered by casual AI.
AI.
There you go. Buzzword. That
gotta
is just filled
it.
With buzzwords.
But I can say something else. I mean, we're supposed to be a 9-man team at least, and we were supposed to grow from 9 into more people, and we're currently at 6, and they're not planning on giving us more people.
They're giving you Dynatrace, man. You don't
They're giving us AI instead. That's what it is. So, you know. Oh, go ahead.
When I used it, it wasn't AI, but it just, we just used it to monitor, servers and web apps, Java apps.
Is it kind of like Datadog or New Relic or, I don't know what else is
it sent us the alerts and stuff.
Yeah. A monitoring and metrics
like,
software.
Yeah. Just monitoring and metrics. We had a high availability. We had four servers in two data centers that was hot. They were load balanced live, had different F3, F5 load balancing. But anyway, we had a 75% success rate on test things that we went through, and it was always one server that would randomly have issues, and it was because there was a misconfigured Java plugin inside of WebSphere. But the team that handled that wouldn't even look at it for like 2 years till it caused a issue with a $1 billion wire transfer. And then, somebody finally looked at it.
That'll do it. Right there. The money.
Was Dynatrace something that was able to help ferret that problem out?
Well, I mean, we already knew one of the servers was having problems. It identified which of the four servers was dropping periodically.
So Dynatrace solved your problem to the extent that it showed you where it was, but the team responsible decided to ignore your pleas until it was too late.
We assumed it was a problem with the plugins on one of the four servers or all four of the servers. Dynatrace proved that there was an issue with one server, and we finally got the web services team to look at it.
How large was your team at the time?
8-10 people. They split us into two different teams. The infrastructure team was, I think, 4 people for the web services.
So you were on the 4-person team?
No, the 10-person team that split into 5.
Oh, you were on the 5-person team. We did all the
wire transfers, Fiserv, Swift, all that kind of stuff.
See?
Bank stuff.
Joe, right there, Dynatrace 10 years ago turned a 10-person team that was split in half into a 30-person team just with their service.
So
they added twice the amount of power to that team.
So for us, it will give us 18 people's worth of work that we're supposed to continue doing with 6 people.
Well, no. It's now AI powered, so maybe 36.
36 people's worth of work that we're supposed to get done with 6 people.
Yes.
Okay.
Are you missing data collection that will help you figure out where your issues are? Because I think that's its only purpose.
In some instances, it's a little metrics. Bit difficult to analyze where certain things come from. Because certain jobs will place something in one of our databases, but once it's there, we have no way of specifically knowing which set of jobs put it there. And believe it or not, you know, there's a lot of different applications at the bank that I work at.
I believe you.
So sometimes it gets a little difficult to track things.
Yeah, we also used Splunk, and it put all the logs together, all of them from all the servers, and
They've given like overviews of Splunk, and they've talked about moving us to Splunk, and they kept saying yes, we're going to use this, and it'll help us analyze all these different log files. It's a log file aggregator, and then you know after all the classes, you get nothing.
They didn't give you Splunk?
No, they did not give us Splunk.
Well, that's kind of I used Splunk in the past. It worked out pretty well for us.
I think the major thing was that they didn't want to give us anything that could be used to help us get jobs elsewhere.
Really?
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, I was going to say, man, that sucks.
Because the in-house stuff, you know, is great, but put it on a resume, what's it mean?
You're versatile. You could roll your own.
Right?
You blaze your own path.
Look, I can roll my own joint by the time I was 14. Oh, did I say that out loud? My bad.
So the in-house stuff that you have put together, was it, it – are the people who originally put it together still there?
Hell no. Hell no.
Are the people who are there able to modify it and extend
yeah.
it?
No, no. We got some we have some good developers. And they are able to, you know, significantly change things.
And is it good?
You know, it's not bad. It's not completely terrible. I mean, there are issues here and there, and there is some technical debt. And some of the applications are aging, but mostly our developers keep on top of it. And they've got a difficult job, and I'm not going to say anything, you know, against those guys, because, you know, they got they're in New York with the business guys breathing down their necks trying to get them to add functionality. And basically, a large portion of my job is to slow down the addition of, you know, new features to make sure that they're properly tested. And so it's not us that gets yelled at for that. It's the development team that gets yelled at these features are not getting put out fast enough. Oh. But yeah, we got good guys there, and they are pretty good at what they do. So I don't have any complaints about the development teams.
Now, we kind of had a similar setup originally a long time ago with a lot of – well, I don't want to say it was similar to what you have, but – a lot of the tools were developed in-house, and the difficulty with those tools was it was developed by a couple of people, some of who had moved on or were in the process of moving on. And the thing was, you know, we ended up in that place where to try and adapt these tools to different workflows was a far greater challenge than it was to just adopt new tools.
Nuke, pave, put in something new.
Yeah, I mean, the level of effort was, you know, to move to something more industry standard was a lot less of an effort than it was to adopt the old tools to different workflows.
Right.
Not to mention when they started bringing in other teams and moving everything together, those other teams had kind of different workflows and everything they wanted to kind of bring everything together under one umbrella. And thus, even though the group that I was with, they had the lion's share of the infrastructure and processes and workflows going through them. It just, like I said, turned out to be a lot more flexible and faster adoption to move to a different set of tools. And the tools, I will say, the tools that they built for the time were pretty damn good.
It's just not that time anymore.
Yeah. You know, when you're dealing with, like, a team of, like, what? A small team of a handful of people compared to something that, you know, Ansible or Chef, or, you know, something like that that starts out as a kind of open source project and you got developers from all over the world contributing upon, you know, the pace at which they can change and develop and grow that workflow and adopt new technologies and integrate them into other services. So it's just like, there's no way you're really going to compete with that. If you have such a small, that's really a big challenge. Not going to say you can't compete with it, but that's it. You're going to have to be constantly on top of that.
Well, I don't see us getting rid of our in-house stuff anytime ever. But they are trying to adapt it. More WebGems.
What are web gems? Is that related to Ruby?
The web gems are when basically like when you take a web-based application and you put it into its own little package.
Okay.
Turn it into an application.
Is that something in-house or is that?
Oh, well, no, it's something that you, what version of Linux are you running?
Where? Me personally?
The computer in front of you, yes.
Oh, this is Manjaro.
Oh, I don't know if Manjaro has it built in, but like Linux Mint has web apps built in. So I can take a web page and just package it up and turn it into an application.
And that's through what you said, WebGems? Wasn't that Chrome? Hold on, let me Chromium make sure. Did that? Not Chromium. Yeah. What was it called? What is it called? It starts with an E, doesn't it?
Let me make sure I got the right wording here.
Not Web Eclipse.
WebGems.
Electron.
Yeah. Sort of. Same thing.
I never heard of WebGems.
Electron app. Maybe it is in-house then. I've been here so long I can't tell the difference anymore.
I love when that happens. Good evening.
Hello.
What up, Jolie?
Not my way.
Great job.
Still below 300. Well,
I guess I can't find
back
anything.
Up a little bit.
Hold on. WebGems.io, let me see this. Go-to place for devs and designers to find new resources and more as a beginner at some blah, 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 therefore. Containing only the best gems out there. I have no idea then.
Electron web app?
Essentially, same thing. It's a web app.
See, but it must there's be Electron. In-house. Well, there's Electron to build cross-platform desktop apps with JavaScript, HTML, and CSS.
Well, this would be using Python and Quartz.
And that's not this.
Everything we have is written in Python.
Nice.
I don't complain. At least it's easy to read.
That's true. I have actually been using Automator on the Mac to run a Python script every morning.
Why not cron?
Yeah, I was going to say, can you
right?
use cron?
Why not cron?
I could not, because of Apple's infinite wisdom, there was a whole bunch of permissions.
You're not running, yeah. You know, a proper operating system.
Well, macOS does have cron. It is there. And I did try cron first, but cron, I don't know what it is. It's something weird with the permissions or something within macOS that preventing the cron job from running properly.
You know what? I think I ran into that problem a long time ago.
I couldn't be ours to do it. Yeah, I couldn't be ours to figure it out for all I was doing with it. So I figured, let's find out a different way. And I did. So basically, the Python script runs to go out to a...
you know the correct way to do it, right?
I run Linux?
Yes!
I wish I could. I wish I could. Hey, it's better than using a task scheduler on Windows.
Well, at least Windows has the Windows subsystem for Linux.
Yeah.
That's still a thing, right? I don't know.
Yeah, it is, and there's the full dose of
Ubuntu
Copilot. Speaking of Ubuntu, I do have the latest one running on my Raspberry Pi 5.
Oh, cool. How's the Raspberry Pi 5 treating you?
It Well, really good. I just haven't figured out a great place to stick it in the office where I can have it on all the time.
Don't you always have that problem finding the right place to stick it?
No. Depends what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? I was talking about your pie.
Anywho. I got to look up and see if I get to go see Russ and his girlfriend at Cheryl at the Ohio or Dayton Hamvention, because I'm going Friday.
Oh.
That would be Linux in the Ham Shack.
Are you going to be on Linux in the Ham Shack? Is that show still going? Just listen to those guys.
I do think it is. I'm not exactly sure what their schedule is. Because it's possible I removed it after many months of not getting a show.
Well, weren't they also, like, reviewing beers and... Yeah, they were reviewing beers on that show, weren't they?
Maybe. I don't know. They usually go, but I don't know what's going on.
Oh, so how are you feeling being under 300?
Pretty good, as long as I behave myself over the weekend.
are you that close to 300?
Yeah, I actually flirted back up with it because I kind of went stupid on Saturday.
Oh, it happens. It happens.
I'm back down below.
It's like, you know, when I start cutting because I want to lose a little bit of weight, and then the wife finds out, and the next thing I know, she's purchased me 4 pizzas and 2 enchiladas.
Ooh.
Yeah. That happens.
Yeah. Well, I also see in Noom, they have treat days, and I scheduled a treat day last Saturday. That was a mistake, because on a treat day, they don't make you log, they don't make you read. You basically, it's a treat day. You can,
diabetes.
Well, not that, but to practice what you've learned without having the crutch.
Well, of what, counting?
Yeah.
Well, I think it sounds like a... Doesn't sound like a legit cheat day if they expect you to.
That's not a cheat day. That's
Do you
have self control day?
Do you have some self? Yeah. I mean, that said, on a treat day, do I indulge? I absolutely do.
Yes. A little bit. Some.
And there's something that he said for that.
Cheat days are a necessity. Don't let anybody lie to you.
Yeah, because it basically lets you enjoy the foods that you like.
Yeah, you do need to control your diet, yes, but life also needs to be worth living. So sometimes you just got to shove that whole damn pizza in your face, okay?
Yeah.
But my daughter is very, very nice to me. She loves me evidently because she made me a banana pudding today, and it had like the low calorie pudding in it, like the no sugar added pudding, and she counted out weighed everything out and counted out all the calories and did the math so that I would know how the calories per gram, and then gave it to me and showed me the whole ingredient list and everything, so I can eat banana pudding.
That was nice.
Banana pudding is delicious.
I love banana pudding.
Yeah.
It was quite tasty. And it's kind of nice, you know, a 300-gram serving, which is probably more than you think it is because of the wafers, it only comes out to about 380 calories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and there's no way I could have done like 600 grams. Wouldn't fit in my stomach.
Yesterday, I very rarely would order one of these. I enjoy them, but instead of getting a cold brew coffee at Starbucks. I went for a cappuccino yesterday. Mostly because I was looking at the menu.
You lost me at Starbucks.
Hey. If Look, there was a better coffee shop on my side of town, I would go there.
I am not paying $15 for a freaking coffee. And I'm definitely not paying $30 for sugar water.
Yes, I didn't. I paid maybe $6.
Yeah, actually,
I'm with you on the Death Wish. I enjoy Death Wish coffee quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had to cut back on my caffeine intake. It was actually getting to be a bit of a problem for me. But I want to send you something. Too. Let me see if I can find it. Because my wife sent me something.
Now I got another pound of Viking Coffee Refined Savage Old Man Strength coming.
Oh, I also read favorite. About this, the strongest coffee in the world. It's not Death Wish. It was another company. But they were talking like 1,600 milligrams of caffeine Ooh. For a 6-ounce cup. And that's freaking suicide right there. That's
4 times.
1,600 milligrams. 1.6 grams of caffeine. That is no, that will kill you.
Yeah, I've not done that much since college, and that was like Jolt Colas and no doze.
Yeah. That's in 1 6-ounce cup of coffee, man. All I right. like drinking my coffee by the pot, and a 6-ounce cup. That's no,
cool. yeah, no.
No, and it's only recommended that you get like 400 milligrams of caffeine per day.
You would have to send me that link on payday. Because I would enjoy that, the heck out of that.
What, that one I was talking about with 1600? No.
The protein coffee thing you just sent.
Yeah, my wife sent me this. I'm considering ordering it. I'd prefer it if they had like a 4-pound one or something. But this is high protein coffee, keto friendly, 18 grams of protein, 2 grams of carbs.
Interesting.
And no, it's extremely interesting because it's iced coffee and it's 100 calories per serving with, 18.5 grams of protein. And that's just an absolutely insane macro split on that. So.
I'm not sure if I'm gonna buy it now, but I might. That's 1 pound. That's only 1 pound.
Yeah, I prefer it if they had like a 4-pound or something, but I can understand, you know, 1 pound just for testing it out.
Yeah, I spent about twice as much as I normally did on coffee, mostly from Viking, mostly because I'm spotting my pastor and his wife a pound of coffee, just to say thank you for all they do. Good stuff. It's great coffee. I mean, I cannot. That is my favorite. When I'm ordering whole beans, that's where I go. Viking coffee. Out of Michigan.
Guess where I ate last week?
Hardee's?
Del Taco.
Ooh.
We used to have Del Tacos down here, and then they just all went under and Taco Bell took over. But,
wait, hold on a second. Wait. You had it in Florida, right?
Yeah.
So technically, wouldn't you say we used to have Del Taco up here?
In South Carolina, yeah. Up here. When I said down here, I mean in relation to you.
I know where you are, Dave. You don't have to tell me.
But we do have a Del Taco. I think there's one in Columbia. I think there's one in Fountain Inn, but they're like 90 and 120 miles. But the red bean burrito is just as good as I remember it. It was good.
You know, we're getting a Del Taco in Virginia Beach soon.
All right.
We have one, yeah.
Now I gotta go. If it got the Dave stamp of approval.
Oh yeah.
We have two Del Tacos in all of Ohio. One of them has to be in Whitehall, Ohio, which is on the other side of town. The other one's up in Marion. But even better than a Del Taco is Taco John's.
Now, I thought it was a little suspect that they have hamburgers on their menu. I did not get one of those. I got three red bean burritos. That was good.
You know what fast food place I miss a lot because we don't have them here? El Pollo Loco.
We have Pollo Loco here, and yes, I have too much self-respect to go there.
Yeah, I don't. It's like kind of like Taco Bell. It's kind of like a guilty pleasure kind of thing. Taco Once is better than both of them, though.
Okay, it is called Devil Mountain Coffee Black Label Dark. Send you this link.
The dark part I like.
I want you to.
Part I don't.
I want you to scroll down to the very first comment, and read what it says.
Wait, where'd you post this?
4.4 out of 5. It's in the mobile chat.
The first comment says, not for everyone. Very good, but very strong and caffeinated. This product is not for everyone. It's a very good product. I've had it in the past, but it has a lot of caffeine. 1,600 milligrams per 6 ounces.
That means I would kill myself by drinking one of my mugfuls.
Yes. Considering I normally drink my coffee a pot at a time, I would die. And probably not slowly.
Yeah. It's bad enough when I have like 3 or 4 shots of espresso in the morning.
Don't get me wrong. I like my caffeine. I like high doses of caffeine. 1.6 in a 6-ouncer is a bit extreme.
Yeah. I'll take my death wish, thank you.
I like this comment. It's excellent.
I don't
clean your whole house, start a side business, and set up trade negotiations with space harpies in one day.
Yes.
What was that, more Nancy?
I don't believe it's 1600. I'm trying to find their website. Comment.
Yeah, no, I've seen others say it was 1300. But I have not seen any actual numbers. You are correct on. Okay, this website here, caffeineinformer.com, strongest coffee brands, says it's 1,555 milligrams per 12 floral ounces brewed. So
that's still too much. Ugh.
That's still too much. That's still a cup of coffee. That's absolutely insane.
Although, holy crap, $62 for a pound of it?
That's another thing, yeah.
I paid
30 for my old man strength, and that's 2 pounds of it.
But considering that how far I would have to water down that coffee in order to be able to drink it, you know, it would last a long time, even at $60.
That'd be like...
That's the price on Amazon. Their price on their website is $20 a pound.
Really? Oh.
Holy crap. That's a huge difference.
No, $62 is for 16 ounces, so that's 2 pounds, dude.
16 ounces is a pound.
Sorry, it's a pound. You're right. Never mind. I'm a dork. I'm a dork.
The weird
I can't
thing,
match
yeah, okay.
today.
If, I don't see, like, they have a 32 ounces and an 80 ounces, but they don't list prices
right.
for those.
Have you tried any of the flavored versions of Death Wish, Joe?
Yes, the gingerbread. I like their gingerbread.
The gingerbread, yeah. The ginger dead is really good. I've tried the blueberry, blue and buried. That was okay, but the only kind of creamer that really works with it is just plain.
Yeah, they don't have anything on their site that actually says anything about this coffee other than it's really strong.
Well, then there's Biohazard Coffee, which is 928 milligrams. Again, still too much.
The second strongest is Very Strong Coffee by Great British Trading, and that's supposed to be 1350 per 12 ounce. Then Red On from the UK is 1293. High Voltage is 1150. Black Insomnia is 1105. Maximum Carnage Cannonball is 1100.
I love the names.
Biohazard is 928. Yeah. Death Wish, 728.
Now for my circle, water bottle thing, I did, order every single coffee flavored cartridges for the, circle. Don't bother. It has this, it has the same problem. Anytime somebody wants to make something taste like coffee, it tastes fake. And that's exactly what this tasted like. It was just not good. It was bitter and just, ugh. No.
I wouldn't worry about coffee. It.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't, but. But that's not for your benefit. That's for the listeners if they love their circle water bottles. I do like mine. In fact, I might go get, they have 32 ounce ones over at Walmart now. I might go get another one. But yeah, all their other flavors are better. Like I got, black cherry in there now. And it's a go sip, so it has caffeine too. But then I do have penguin mints here, which are caffeinated peppermints and chocolate mint and citrus. I have all three. Anybody, I don't know about, well, probably not as bad in Texas, but Danda, you guys been getting a ton of rain lately?
Yes, we have.
I wouldn't say a ton of rain. I mean, okay. We got some.
We've had thunderstorm warning after thunderstorm warning.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, did you see the tornado stats yet? Ohio's had more than Texas.
You're winning.
This year. We're winning, I guess, huh?
You can keep him up there.
Yeah.
No. I don't think Joe wants him back.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Keep him. No. Yep. No thanks. You can keep him.
No, I'm good. They're your problem now.
No.
I'll lose those kittens in this divorce.
Right. Speaking of rain, I bought three windshield wipers for my wife's 2020 Subaru Ascent. I got them at Walmart. They were like $80 total. And I couldn't make those things work. They're the Rain-X brand, and they come with all these adapters, and you have to take them apart to make them fit or put parts on. Anyway, this is a royal pain.
You know why? Because there's no fucking standard anymore.
There's not. But here's what I did. I boxed them up, and I took them back, and I got on Amazon. And I just searched for factory Subaru
windshield wipers. $50?
$21 for three.
Nice.
Yeah. I was going to say $80 for windshield wipers. That's crazy.
$79, yeah.
For windshield wipers, you can't even put on your car.
Exactly.
What year is the car?
2020.
Oh.
But they're universal. I mean, they'll fit every kind of attachment that exists, except not.
And Dave couldn't figure out which one it was.
So I figured it out. It was I was doing it right. It just wasn't going on. I mean, it was almost on. It was loose. It was just
my worst one is the back one, because you kind of got to blindly stick your finger in where the little detent is to pull it off.
You make this too easy, Joel.
The Subarus are
I know what you're saying there, Joe. And you can get your head out of freaking gutter.
Well, we know what you're saying too, Joel.
Yes. Now, with the, my
But I didn't say it this time.
No, I know. You heard it. So, yeah, at least you can take the cover off of, like, there's that plastic cover that goes over the blade. You can take that off, and that makes it a little bit easier, but the rear one's always a pain in the butt.
Is it?
It is.
But the Subarus, if you get the exact windshield wiper that's from the factory,
right?
They're so easy to take off and put on. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're
there
so
you go.
Easy.
I don't mind getting, like, the off-brand ones. Like, in fact, I think mine, probably the last set I got from my car was from China. But, you know, hey, I don't care where they're made. I just care if they work.
The Rain-X brand from Walmart, they do last a long time. I'll give them that. They last as long, if not longer, than the factory.
Yeah, thank you for reminding me I need to get some of those.
I've still got a Prius and a Pilot to do.
I am on more fun stuff, though. I'm on episode, 3 of Fallout?
It's good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I've finished it.
Yeah, I finished
Did you?
I haven't watched Fallout yet, but that was because I started watching Trigun Stampede. And I finished that up. And then I started,
Trigun Stampede? Is that new?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that.
Oh, new-ish. I think last year, Trigun Stampede came out.
Well, what is that in relation to the original Trigun?
It's basically a remake.
Wow. Is it like all the remakes are doing these days where they're taking like the 25 episode arc and converting it into like 5 episodes?
12 episodes. I think they are planning on doing a second season potentially, but they did kind of end in the same place the 26th episode ended on the original Trigun,
yeah,
even though they
skipped
over the entire second season.
Okay. Yeah, they did that with Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and there was Rurouni Kenshin. They did that too, and
With Brotherhood, the reason behind that was is because most of the stuff that happened in the original Full Metal Alchemist anime was filler because they were waiting for the writing to happen. When Brotherhood happened, the writing was done.
I still enjoyed it.
God, I'm a nerd.
The original.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to have to check out Trigun. I loved Trigun.
Oh, dude. Trigun Stampede is really good. I enjoyed it. All
right, check it out.
And then I started, Ninja Kamui? Which is pretty good so far. I hear that later on it kind of turns into, you know, garbage. But for now, I'm in the first few episodes and it's really good.
Wait, when you said you watched Trigun Stampede, was this, you acquired it through?
Perfectly legal means, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
On my Plex.
Uh-huh. I get that.
Man, I'll tell you what. When I watched the original run of Trigun, one episode had this like I thought had this like really awesome song in it.
They all did.
And but it was different than like it opened with a different song or something like that. And I went back and I could never find what episode that was again.
I'm not sure. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Yep. I did finish, I mean, I know it's really old, but I finished and watched the entire 1978 Battlestar Galactica.
Again?
Well, yeah, again after not watching it for, 30 years?
I never could finish the original one.
Well, there was only ever one season of it, which is surprising. Yeah. Unless you count the abomination, it's Galactica 1980. Which I don't.
Oh, when they came back to Earth? Or some of them
yeah,
came back to
Earth? Yeah, they rode the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Because they ran out of budget. And Lorne Greene had a beard.
Yeah.
But what I'm surprised that they haven't remade yet again would be Buck Rogers.
I thought you were going to say Logan's Run.
Flash Gordon.
That too. Or Flash Gordon, yeah.
Flash Gordon seems to get remade every 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Buck Rogers, though, is what, twice so far, and that's it? Unless there, wait, there was a, I think there was a radio series, too, of Buck Rogers, I thought.
It was probably
so maybe
at first.
Right.
A radio
right.
series of Buck Rogers.
Right. Just like with Dick Tracy. In the
well,
comics.
Wasn't that in the papers first? Yeah, comics.
Yeah. Well, there's comics. I think there was a cartoon at one point.
Yeah, and there was a movie.
Yep.
With Madonna.
You see what she looks like lately? Holy cow.
Not a lot of surgery.
That's an understatement.
Her choice.
Yeah, true.
Dick Tracy was also a serial like Flash Gordon was in Batman in the 1930s. Yeah. 1937 was his initial release.
On radio, right?
No.
Or comics.
I believe they were serials. They were shorts before movies. Feature movies.
Yeah. The little mini cartoons.
No, it wasn't a cartoon. It was live action.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so there was like Dick Tracy, Captain America.
Oh, like they show, like they used to show that, show little things before the start of the feature film.
Yeah, there was a Batman one and, Flash Gordon there was a serial.
Why haven't they remade The Phantom?
They did.
I don't know.
They did.
You mean
they
since
did.
The
oh 80s?
Or the 90s or whatever it was?
Yeah. I vaguely remember them redoing it.
Yeah. I forget his name. He was in the Titanic, but,
Leo DiCaprio?
No, he was the villain.
That was the one from the 1980s.
Yeah.
He was the villain in Titanic, but he was the Phantom.
Yeah.
In the Phantom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say Dean Cain, but it's not Dean Cain, but you know.
Billy Zane?
Billy Zane, that's it, yeah.
There you go.
It was 1996.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, 80s doesn't sound right for Billy
But
Zane.
They made a remake of that recently, didn't they? Like the last 5-10 years?
I don't know.
Am I tripping, or did I see a news story that says Nicolas Cage was going to play Spider-Man?
That seems unlikely. I mean, he wasn't able to get in to play Superman, and he really wanted that one.
Yeah.
Well, they even had pictures of him in his suit too.
I guess if they're doing like some kind of live action multiverse thing, he could be like a really old Peter Parker.
Nicolas Cage is the star in Spider-Man Noir live action series at MGM Plus Prime Video.
He was doing the voice.
And he made a cameo with Superman in the last Flash movie.
Nicolas Cage did?
Yeah. It was CGI, but it was there's a scene where the Flash is like running through multiverses, and you see all the Superman, all the Bat, you know, every incarnation, and there's a Nicolas Cage one.
Huh.
No, but he was the voice of Batman Noir in Across the Multiverse, or no, not Across the Multiverse, but the Spider-Man
Noir.
Yeah, Spider-Man Noir in Spider-Man Across the Multiverse. All the multiverse.
This will be an Amazon Prime series. I'm telling you what, Amazon's scoring some great TV now.
Yeah.
If they keep up with stuff like Fallout, hell yeah.
I enjoyed Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I enjoyed Twisted Metal. Have you guys watched the Twisted Metal one yet?
Wait, I thought that was on Peacock.
Was it Peacock? I thought it was Amazon.
I think it's Peacock. Cause I was about, we're about ready to watch that.
I gotta watch it.
Twisted Metal was so funny.
Oh, I loved it.
Which sold you on what?
Twisted Metal.
Well, I thought more Dancy said Twisted Metal is what sold him.
So good.
Oh,
was so funny. And good, but so funny.
Okay.
Oh, had me laughing all the way through.
Did you see Fallout?
Love that, yes.
How would you compare the violence in Twisted Metal to the violence in Fallout?
The violence
much more
in Twisted
comical.
Metal is funnier?
Right, Twisted Metal's always been like a funny game.
Okay, because my wife's not big on violent movies, but she enjoyed Fallout, so I'm hoping that Twisted Metal won't be a problem.
Fallout seemed like pretty real-looking violence for the situations and not comical.
Right.
Twisted Metal is maybe a little more violence, but much more comical.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I'm very early into it. I think I'm like episode 3 or so. Like, I'm the one
You're talking about Fallout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I already seen Lucy cut off, the dude's head.
You played all the Fallout games, right, Joe?
No.
Huh.
I haven't played any of them.
I don't think, you know, and that's the great thing about the Fallout shows, you don't really have to play the games to understand. I mean, I've played some of them, but
yeah,
not
to
completion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched an hour-long video pointing out all the game Easter eggs in it, and it was pretty amazing, all the stuff they threw into it, stuff that most people probably that played the game religiously wouldn't even have picked up on.
I was impressed with how much they pulled from the games, because I played three and a good bit of New Vegas, but and just the beginning of four I couldn't get into, or was it Fallout 4?
Yeah, I have four. I just couldn't get into it.
I noticed the can of cram in the TV show. their version of spam.
And obviously, they had Nuka-Cola somewhere.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, it's all over the place.
Well, that's the funniest thing is I'm early in and they mentioned caps, but I haven't seen Nuka-Cola just yet. So I'm early in. So
you gotta be looking in the background, man. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sure it probably is.
Well, you're gonna come into a couple of scenes where it plays prominently.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be finished with it yet, except every episode is so long and there's so much in it, I don't want to rush through it. It's like, I mean, all the little story bits, it's like, ugh.
You know what, Dave?
It's really well done.
I've almost made it to the halfway point of Three Body Problem. It's so good. There's so many of them.
So many. I went back and I had got to episode 9. So I went back a couple of weeks ago and watched the first 9, and I watched the 10th one. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to finish it this time. And that's where I stopped again. I'm on vacation just at that time, but I'm going to finish it.
I hope what Microsoft did to Bethesda Studios doesn't impact future seasons of Fallout, because they killed Bethesda Studios, they did Fallout, whole bunch of different game series.
Yeah, a lot of people are pissed off at Microsoft for what they've done to the small gaming shops that they had scooped up.
All these companies they bought up so that they'd have games on the Xbox.
We thought they were going to do something great and bring them all to PC, and nope, just get rid of them.
I'm not into violent movies either, Dan, but I'm okay with what I've seen so far.
Of what?
You know, in Fallout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't mind violence in my movies. It's my wife that doesn't particularly like it, but she loved Fallout.
I will say that there's the violence that is in there is all violence that fits. It's not gratuitous, you know.
Yeah, it's necessary.
Right.
It's necessary unless you're the kind of person that doesn't want to watch violence.
Look, the violence in Twisted Metal is basically all gratuitous, but it's also necessary.
Exactly.
It's over the top gratuitous, right?
Like, for example, one of my most favorite movies in the 80s was RoboCop, and that had gratuitous violence in it.
Well, it had some over-the-top violence in it.
Yes.
But in that one scene that is extremely controversial where, you know, the cop gets...
They kill Murphy. Yeah.
And they blow his hand off.
And his leg. And then shoot him in the head. Yeah.
That was a big deal back in the day. I remember that.
Yep. I'd buy that for a dollar.
Did they remake RoboCop, or are they remaking?
Wait, did they?
They did. They did, and the CEO was Michael Keaton.
I didn't see it. Was it good? Okay, that answers that.
It's okay, you know. If you wanted it to be as funny as RoboCop was, because let's face it, there's scenes in RoboCop that are hilarious. But it's not that. And I don't think Michael Keaton plays a bad CEO, like an evil CEO that well.
He's a good actor.
He's a good actor, but I didn't think he did well in that role. They could have picked somebody else. Maybe they should have picked somebody like Bill Burr in that one to play the CEO. He'd be okay at that, I think.
Dun, dun. And that's the way it goes.
And Discovery is kind of,
Oh, okay. The remake was actually, for The Phantom, was actually a 2009 television miniseries.
Oh, that.
Yeah, I remember that. I didn't see it, but I remember that.
Did you watch Defenders of the Earth when you were a kid with Flash Gordon?
I remember the Magician
and The Phantom.
Is it a cartoon?
Yeah, it was an animation.
I don't remember that.
Now, the RoboCop remake that came out in 2014, if you haven't seen it yet, it's rated PG-13, not R.
Well, there you go. That goes hand in hand with the RoboCop cartoon that was out in, what, 2000s, I think it was? Or was it the 90s?
Samuel L. Jackson plays Pat Novak. He's the TV announcer guy.
Samuel Jackson, man, he used to do anything for a paycheck.
Yes, he did.
Good on him.
Including bad Star Wars movies.
Well, we're getting close to wrapping up time. We should announce that registration is open.
Southeast Linux Fest.
It's taking place at June 7th and 9th at the Sheraton Charlotte Airport, with keynote speeches by Dave Yates.
Really?
No.
No.
Put on by Dave Yates.
It's bad timing for me this year.
I won't see you there?
I won't be there.
No.
SoutheastLinuxFest.org for all the information. Are you going more, Dancy?
Hell yeah. Cancer's the only thing that kept me from going.
Well, I wish I could be there. I wish I could go. I can't make it.
Are you?
Well, come on.
Now?
I'll share my hotel with you.
I can't go. I got too much stuff going on.
Yeah, I can't.
Can't never did anything.
What's that?
Can't never did anything, Dan. Can't never did anything.
It's such a terrible, two times of the year that are really bad for me to do anything. It's the end of the school year and the start of the school year.
Yep. Chuck Pup Payne.
Go anyway.
Going.
What's that, Joel?
I said Chuck Payne's going. He's the guy that's usually at the Susie booth. Or
okay.
Susub booth, however you say it. But I really don't want to skip it because any time I have a specialist appointment, like either for my nephrologist or my sleep doctor, rescheduling it could mean one more months out, and I don't want to go further out with my sleep doctor because odds are extremely high they're going to reschedule me for a retitration because of my weight loss, and I need it too because let me tell you, I'm getting aerophage real bad some days.
The hell is that?
basically the pressure's too high and it's inflating my stomach. So I'll
pressure
wake
what?
Up.
Your CPAP machine?
Yes, correct.
Oh, that's weird.
So I'll wake up in the morning and I'll go, and then all of a sudden I feel better.
And then your wife's like, get the hell out of here.
No, burps don't smell as bad as farts do.
So you have a large belch in the morning? Sometimes that can mean that your pressure is set too high on your CPAP.
Exactly, yes. That's definitely the case. I'm actually going to ask him, too. I've got about, I got to calculate it, 298 minus 270.
Speaking of settings, I'll tell a quick story of how I fixed a problem with Nextcloud.
Cool.
Have you upgraded?
28 pounds. I got 28 pounds until my BMI is below where it has to be to get the Inspire sleep therapy surgery. Although I am going to bring it up when I go in June and see if he might be able to work on me, get me qualified early. Basically, it's an implant, so I don't have to sleep with the BiPAP. I can sleep normally. I just have to turn on the implant every night. So.
Well, what I was going to say about Nextcloud real quick. Joe, have you upgraded Nextcloud recently? You're running Docker, right?
Yes, I'm running the Docker version. No, I have not updated it recently.
I think I'm running version 29 now, and it started with 28. And I was getting an error message instead of a warning in the admin panel, and it said that my trusted proxy's settings were wrong. And I'd not changed that part of the config, that PHP in forever. But it's an array, it's supposed to be just IP addresses, either IP4, IP6, IPv6. And I just figured it out like last week. The third entry in my array said in single quotes, all caps, Nextcloud underscore URL. As long as that was in there, I was getting the error. And the error didn't bother me as much as it was. It kept logging me out. What inactivity or not, I would log in, and then within 30 minutes, I'd be logged out on every machine, every browser. I removed that Nextcloud underscore URL line, and it's working. And the error went away as well. So it's not documented very well. But evidently in version 28 and 29, you can't have anything in that array other than IP address. So.
Cool. Well, I haven't had any issues yet, so.
And you may not, the doctor, I don't know. But I was glad I got it fixed. That was a pain.
Awesome, man. Thank you for letting us know, nice. Dave. Fix that shit.
Yeah.
Good on you, man. All right, I'm going to play us out. It's that time. I got something special for you, Joel. You're going to love this.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Joba?
No, it's even better. You're going to love it. And then you're going to be singing it next week.
Your mom?
Nope. I don't think you've ever heard it before. You're going to love it. Dave's going to love it. You're going to hear him cracking in the background. You ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here you go.
Sure.
I got my ball to my butthole dance. What can I do? I can't take a dump because now my balls are blocking up my butthole. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on you. I'm watching her man use a butter knife, face down and up, try and saw off the sack. Oh baby, fucking please just take me back.
Oh God.
I grew my balls to my butt, oh baby, oh my
So we can paint anything we want?
God. Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making Ed Poo Young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Did you like that?
That was awesome.
Dude.
Hilarious.
Who was that?
My side. Obscure vinyl.
No, look at that. More dancing, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah, I heard that a while ago.
Yeah. I found that a couple weeks ago. Like, I've been like...
Have you guys heard Tom Leher? Leher?
Who?
Lair.
Tom Lair, yeah.
Tom Lair? Yeah.
Like the UFO guy?
No. Composer?
He doesn't do that. Okay,
no, I don't know. He did a lot of famous songs and like musicals and stuff, I believe.
Right.
A lot of them are humor based.
Holy shit!
Very witty.
He's still living too.
He's turned 96 in April.
Would he have been on Dr. Demento?
Oh, absolutely, he has. Yeah, he absolutely wasn't Dr. Demento. I'm trying to remember when people may have heard. The one I listened to with him was, I think he did a 12 Days of Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, like like one of the, like on day one is on the first day of Christmas, my chula gave to me a Japanese transistor radio. It's a Nakashima.
Poisoning Pigeons in the Park was on Dr. Demento.
Right.
And The Vacation Rag. And We Will All Go Together When We Go.
That sounds familiar.
It's the Vatican rag, not the vacation rag.
I read that wrong, Q. Mark?
And the Element song.
Hydrogen and Helium.
That one.
But he didn't do the song we just heard.
No.
No, that's a obscurest vinyl. It's a AI-generated oldies.
Okay.
I thought that was Dan.
Yeah, that was me singing.
That's what I put in the IRC. I said, your singing voice is better than I would have thought.
I'm a little disappointed it was AI generated. I thought this was actually old.
Oy, oy, oy. Oh, you come on down, Murph. We'll go out to karaoke. I got a lot of rage
actually,
from my, when I did Stone Temple Pilots a few weeks ago.
Actually, no, I was wrong. It wasn't 12 Days of Christmas. It was A Christmas Carol by Tom Lehrer.
Dan, remember
he has a huge repertoire of songs, and there are,
yes, he does.
All the ones I've heard are hysterical.
Yeah, all of Tom Lehrer's stuff is fantastic.
It is.
So, Dan, remember, when you do karaoke, they always applaud. You know why? They either applaud because
you're done.
Or they applaud because you're finished.
No, people came up to me afterwards. How dare you, Murph?
Oh, I dare.
So here's, yeah, you can take your, you need to take the recording of What You Like to Know and then remove the voice and then you can karaoke that.
Nobody wants to know that song. Nobody.
He come busting in, he said, Dave here, and be like, Dave, how's your daughter? Forget about her. Let me tell you about my shoes.
And his socks.
Yeah. You missed the socks last week.
Oh, I hate that.
Well, no, Dave is the one that suggested the socks.
I did?
Yeah. Sure? Or, no, you suggested the insoles. That's
Yeah. Not socks. But I bet he got, merino wool socks, didn't he?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention.
I don't know if this is going to work, Dave. I'm trying to download some software here, Dave. I got to update my systems. It's been a little too long, I think. Like a couple weeks.
Wow.
That's not good. I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're on a nightly schedule, right?
Multiple times a day.
You're like, let me break it. Let me break it now.
Yeah.
Break it. I'm retired. I could break it all day long. So how long did it take for your daughter to recover?
Oh, she had her post-op visit today, and so she's recovered whether she wants to believe it or not.
Oh, so she's taking her time in recovery.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to pick up over 2.5 pounds kind of recovery.
Oh, well, you know what? How long is that supposed to be?
2 weeks, which was today, Seth.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. They did, when I had my gallbladder, it was laparoscopic. This was too, but they used a robot, so it's actually made 2 holes in me. They made 4 in her, so. She had twice as many stitches as I did, but the surgery's supposed to be easier. I don't know. I mean, you got twice the number of incisions. I don't know how it's easier. Easier for the doctor.
Easier for you?
I don't know.
It just costs twice as much, too.
Yeah.
Twice as many holes, twice the price.
Yeah. You got a robot and a doctor, not just a doctor.
Dave went in for his gallbladder removal. He came out. He looked like a Ken doll. What happened?
I don't remember much about my gallbladder surgery.
He accidentally went to the vet instead, and they did that other surgery.
Mine was an emergency situation. It was a full blown. My gallbladder was dead. I had no symptoms prior to the emergency, but it was. They had to remove it quick.
That's the veterinarian. I see.
Oh my goodness. We're almost there.
I'm going to have to cut on the fan. Y'all let me know if it's too loud. It shouldn't be. It's on the
side. My fan's on.
Is it on now?
No, it's not on now.
Let me see. Turn it on.
Let's see. Okay, hold on.
Can you hear my fan?
Somehow. I didn't hear your fan before, Joe, but now that Dave has started his fan, it's echoed everybody's fan. Thanks a lot, Dave.
I just cut it off.
No, I didn't hear your fan at all, man.
You wouldn't until it's just now on.
Yeah, it sounds a little windy there. Like you need a windshield.
Okay, I'll cut it down. If that
wind guard. I'm not worried about it.
I didn't really know. I didn't know if you were breathing heavy into the microphone or that was a fan. I mean, it wasn't that noticeable.
We were kind of listening for it. And I, too, have a fan on, so I can't really say a whole lot.
Oh, my goodness. What time is it? I guess we could start get the stove started. Blah, blah, blah.
It's like 8:39.
3 minutes. Give me just a minute. Oh, how was the water at the beach?
Choppy.
Wet.
Where? Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
I said wet.
Where is it? Is it on the Atlantic side or the Gulf side?
It's the Gulf side in the Panhandle.
Oh. They let you in there in the state?
Oh yeah.
Where?
It's near Destin. It's between Pensacola and Panama City.
So over by Greenville.
I don't know about that. It's Miramar Beach.
Mariana.
We're at Miramar Beach, which is near Navarre and Destin.
Well, my dad lives in Mariana, and I'm going to be there in like a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I take it you're not there anymore?
No, it was last week. We go every year to that area. My wife's gone every year since she was born, but I've been every year since I've been married, so.
Same time every year?
In the summer. Well, she used to go twice a year with her sister, but.
She didn't take you the second time?
We'll have to coordinate next year.
Yeah. What, Dan?
She didn't take you?
Oh, yeah, I went. Yeah, I went, yeah.
I mean, the second time.
Oh, no, it was just her and her sister would go.
Ah, I said, we don't want none of that, Dave.
Yeah.
her sister, and their two boyfriends.
Nah.
It was her sister, her sister's family, their neighbors.
She would actually go
all
with
of Dave's friends, but not Dave.
She would go with my sister and her husband, who's dead now, but they more or less raised her because, I mean, not really. They raised her during the day. They're like 25 years older than she was. She is. So. They were like parents to her. So.
That her strippers and
her sister is 25 years older than her.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I married my best friend's mom's sister. That's the way we roll in South Carolina.
Wait.
My best friend in high school and college is a year younger than me, and his mom is my mom's age, but her sister is 4 years younger than me, my wife. So when
so your best friend's uncle?
My best friend's aunt is who I married.
Well, that makes you your best friend's uncle.
I am, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So your best friend's
mom's younger sister.
Younger sister.
That's who
I married. Your best friend's aunt.
Yeah. And she was born an aunt. You know, when she was born, my best friend was already three. So.
33.
No, three.
She was 33. He was 33. You were 42. Okay. Oh man. Holy
as long
crap.
As it wasn't, as long as you weren't marrying your aunt, I guess that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not that's so much okay. Like, it's not the age difference between your mom or the sisters. It's like their
that
mom.
That means that they were having kids at like 40 or 50 and
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Nah, yeah, I'm good.
My father-in-law's been dead for 12 years or so. He died of stage 4 throat cancer, but he was, I mean, he's old. He was old. My mother-in-law's still alive. She's 95.
Yeah.
And my wife will be 54 this year, so. She was 41 or something like that. 44, 43 when she was born.
Yeah,
your mom was 40. Your wife was 43 when she was born?
No, my wife's mom was 43 when she was
born. Oh, okay. That's something. That is something.
I mean, who wants to have kids at 43?
Oh, it was not planned.
Hey, we had our last daughter at 40.
Wow.
Good times.
That means that she's going to be leaving the house when you're like 60 or 65.
That's all right. I love every minute with her. It makes me appreciate it.
You know what? You know what? I like kids too, but you know, I wouldn't mind grandkids, but I ain't have no more kids of my own. Cause the nice thing about grandkids, and I'm sure Dave will tell you the same thing, you get to send them home.
Oh, shit.
You get tired of it. You pump them full of sugar. You let them watch things on TV that their parents would never let them watch. And then you send them home. And it's like, oh, you wanted a babysitter, didn't you? Deal with it. You survived.
I actually get paid to watch my grandkid because I'm watching him 4 days a week, 8 or 9 hours a day. So I can't. I have to follow some rules because I will get the blame.
Well, if you're getting paid, that makes it a job. So
yeah. And I'm a bargain. I mean, I'm a whole lot cheaper than real daycare.
Daycare. Oh my God, daycare is just nuts. Yeah. I mean, if you've got two kids, you need at least one full time job just to pay for daycare.
Yep.
All right, let me set this up here. It's too much waiting around. Dave's got things to do. He doesn't have time for me to be messing around, right? He's a busy guy. Holy moly moly. What am I doing here? Oh, wait, it's not. I got that, we got that, we got... And we're ready. What is this show, Dave?
I got no idea. I've been gone 2 weeks.
10:52.
10:52, Dave. Come on.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. I love it when
you
I'm
win
right.
The prize. You get Dave's paycheck this week. In addition to your own.
Don't spend it all in one place, Jared.
I don't think it's actually possible for me to spend it in any one place.
All right, let's fire this puppy up. It's 10:52.